So again, this morning, we've heard from Paul's letter to the people of Galatia. In following from last week, Paul is still very much responding to this division within the church, wherein some Jewish Christians are claiming that Gentile Christians must observe Jewish law and therefore be circumcised, while Paul adamantly argues that law observance is not a precursor to being Christian. While those who argue for the law observance cite texts from Genesis and God's covenant with Abraham that was denoted through circumcision and the circumcision of Abraham and his sons, Paul uses a text from a couple chapters earlier in Genesis, very purposefully, where he cites that Abraham was blessed because of his belief in God, where it says that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Paul argues tooth and nail that, as he said in an earlier portion of this letter that we heard last week in Philippsburg, that we are justified not by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. He writes that if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. That's Paul's bold assertion, and we are bold to believe it. For Paul, once Christ died and came back to life, we all began to exist under God's grace, God's new era of justification. And now, Paul says that we are all children of God, heirs of the promises, no matter who we are, where we come from, or what we look like. Which leads to what is likely the most famous verse from this of Paul's letters, that as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. I have to tell you that I hear these words among some of the strongest words of gospel and grace in all of Scripture. Many times I have reflected on these words and felt both a strong dose of peace and a firm call to action. But this week, I struggled. While these words sound so powerful, when I look out into the world and into my own experiences, I see that the world does not operate this way. The world very much likes to separate by ethnicity, skin color, social economic status, gender, sexuality, just about anything that you can think of. Our world operates on the assumption that the most normal or culturally appropriate thing to be is white, male, straight, healthy, English speaking, and wealthy. And the more that you deviate from those things that are considered to be normative, the more likely you are to have to fight for equal treatment. And that means that those of us in this room are at a bit of a challenge, because most of us in this room don't stray too far from what society deems to be the desired norm. So what is our challenge then? Our challenge is in identifying with those who find themselves on the other end of the spectrum. Now, I know this is hard to hear, but the truth is sometimes hard to hear. And the truth is that most of us have spent very little time thinking about what it's like to walk into the world every day with skin that's a different color, or with a sexuality that the world labels as perverse, or as someone who has no resources available to them. So today I'm asking you to ask yourself, what is the lived experience of someone born on a reservation, who is born into poverty, to parents who survived residential schools but carried home deep scars of abuse, only to no longer be able to communicate with their community in their native language? You can say whatever you want about our Indigenous brothers and sisters in Canada, but we have absolutely no idea what they have endured. We don't know how hard it is to get ahead when you are born at such a disadvantage. What is the lived experience of someone who is no different than you or I, with the exception to the exception of the pigment of their skin? What is it like to know that some people don't make eye contact with you because the assumption is that you have a bad temper or you're more likely to be a criminal? What is it like to go to work and have people be extra nice to you because they're subconsciously afraid of you? We don't know what it's like to worry that you won't get the promotion because your skin is a different color, or that you'll get pulled over by the police because you're more suspect. What is the lived experience of the person who the world, and especially the church, have called abominations? To walk out into the world knowing that who you are, because if we're honest, none of us here chose who we would be attracted to, who the world considers to be damaged. How do you believe yourself worthy of love if the very people who say they represent God tell you that you aren't? What is the lived experience of the woman who has to work twice as hard to prove that she is capable in business? Who has to delicately balance her family life so that it doesn't become an imposition on her job, lest she be kept from advancing? Who gets judged based on how short her skirt is or how bright her lipstick is, instead of the quality of work she does? I could spend all day asking you these questions. I haven't even touched on refugees or the homeless or people who wear religious head coverings. The list goes on and on and on. So I ask you to ask yourself if you've ever spent any real energy contemplating the life circumstances, situations, and realities of those people who deviate from the culturally most acceptable. If you agree with Paul, and I think you do, that in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, then you need to hear these words both as good news and as a call to action. When you leave this place, that is when your work begins. To be understanding, to be patient, to be empathetic, and most importantly, to be a loud voice for those who have no voice in our world. To stand up for the rights and equality of those who don't just get it every day. For those who have to fight to be equal. Use the power that you have in your position for the good of the world. Don't spend your time feeling bad for operating out of a place of privilege. Instead, use that place to make a difference. Paul's words speak the truth that in God's eyes, no one of us is better or more worthy than any other. And that is true. It is our call to make the world look more like that. Amen.